Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, with me broadcasting from his home studios, my man Mike. Mike, say what's up to everybody.
I can't do it with a straight face now. What's up, y'all?
Yeah, that's going to be Mike's intro, everybody. We're going to get that audio clip, and we're going to put it in the soundboard. And every time I go to introduce him, you're going to hear that loud, you know, air horn. Yep. Yeah. Mike, well, ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible show lined up for you tonight. We are going to be talking John Denver, actually more factual. We're going to talk, we got cut off last week. If you're listening, that's what happened. Everything runs off the internet. So internet went down. Mike was okay at his place, but in my studio here where I broadcast from, we were out, so there's nothing we can do about it. So we need to finish up Otis. You know, I think we need to, you know, we'll just kind of talk about the plane crash and everything like that, and segue into John Denver off the crash and stuff like that. But I think we deserve to pay him that, you know, finish up his story and his show. You know, I wouldn't want to do him dirty. Just like, yeah, just forget it. We're just moving on. You know, to me, that's just not
sorry,
right.
And, Otis.
You know, yeah, no, I couldn't live with myself, man. I you know, so that's about the gist of it. Yeah. Then we'll segue into John Denver here. Ladies and gentlemen, please, if you haven't yet, go to that Facebook search bar, type in Note by Note Radio Show. And hit that like button, hit that share button. Let everybody know what me and Mike are trying to do. And we're just trying to talk music with you guys for 1 to 2 hours on a Friday night, Friday evening, afternoon, however you want to. And
wherever you are.
Yeah, and let you hear interviews from real artists. Also, you know, do shows like this where we just kind of talk about somebody and their life and their career and what they've done. And I'm really excited. There was a lot that I learned about John Denver that I didn't know. So I'm, you know, especially one of his main things, his lifestyle, his persona on as far as how he was perceived, and then his actual life, you know, let's behind the music, you know, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the way he lived, it was very interesting. I didn't know that from the persona that he carries of, you know, his good old boy, you know, versus what actually happened in his life. So, you know, we're going to talk about that and his career and his accomplishments. One of two artists who, have, two state songs. So he's got one for Colorado and then and one for West Virginia. And, Mike, that's you, right? That's where you're from.
That's where I'm from. West by God, Virginia, born and raised.
That's right.
Went to college there and everything. Yeah. So I've heard the song Country Roads.
Couple once times. Or twice, probably.
Once or twice a day.
Yeah. For, how many years? Like 24 years, probably?
Yeah. I mean, every football game you hear it, you know.
And, oh, yeah.
And now I play it at my shows. So, hey, you know.
Well, so there much. You go. Yeah, absolutely, you know. And to somebody like him, I think you have to, you know.
Yeah.
So Mike, what's been going on with you this week, buddy?
You know, I've been busy. I was about to say not too much, but that would have been a lie. Like,
we're honest on this show. We are 100% honest. We tell it like it is here. So,
yeah, I've been working in the studio on some people's tracks and learning and trying new things, and I've been playing gigs, and just it's been a busy week. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good, man. Yeah, week. I noticed you several places this week. You know, I saw on your pages, obviously I follow you. And then you're playing tonight. I know you got what, 8 to 11, the full band.
8 to 11
tonight.
Yes. Yes. Full band, the Wild Boar Tavern in Powell.
Yeah.
And we're on to Johnson City tomorrow.
Awesome, man. Awesome. That's killer, dude. I love it. I love it. I wish I could go tonight. Especially see the full band, you know, because there's so many times where I get to see you, but, you know, the whole band is, you know, like you put it, you know, it's a totally different experience for listeners. So
funky, man. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
High energy.
How's your brother doing?
He's good. He actually, I think he's going to come out tonight just as to be an audience member. And he said to see his competition, but you know, he's my brother. So it's like, it's not really that much competition. Even if the other guy that we have tonight, would do better. it wouldn't matter. He's my brother. And
right.
he mends with us, the band, so well. So yeah, for those of you who don't know, my brother ruptured his bicep, and he's our bass player, so he can't play bass for us for a few months.
Kind of knocked you out of commission.
Yeah, something, an injury like that on, you know, your dominant arm, semi-dominant. He's a little ambidextrous. He's left-handed when he writes, but he plays bass right-handed. And are you really?
Yeah, okay. I eat and I write left-handed. I do everything else right-handed. I throw footballs and baseballs, a bat right-handed, So, yeah, the only thing I do left-handed is writing and eating.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he does. That's so, yeah, you know, we're going to be trying out a new bass player tonight. We had a new bass player last weekend, but he couldn't do this weekend. So it's going to be fun.
Is that going to be – are you hoping to – obviously you're hoping to get somebody that will fill the gap for the few months, not somebody that will track down every week, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think this guy, his schedule is open enough to where, you know, he can fill in the dates and whatnot.
Cool. Yeah, because it's not every day that you get the full band. I mean, it's only – what? I mean,
every weekend.
Every weekend?
You know, it's starting to pick back up, you know. Obviously, during COVID and since 2019, it hasn't been – they've been few and far between, but now we're starting to see, like, Wild Wing finally, at least in Johnson City, has brought full bands back. And a lot of it is not necessarily a COVID thing. It's a they can't find anybody to work thing. So
yeah.
It's a staffing thing. So, I've seen guys' shows get canceled just because they didn't have enough staff that night for certain places.
Tiki Huts, we found out there in Lenore City. They've got that awesome outside, you know, big, huge venue thing. But, you know, you go out there, like we went out there a couple of weeks ago, and sure enough, I mean, they're just – and we found out it was due to staffing.
Yep.
You know, nobody wants to work. So.
Yeah. As soon as the government stops throwing money at everybody, we can get back to normal.
Well, they got to do that other round first. They want to do that other round of stimulus. So,
okay, guys, we don't need any more money.
Yeah,
make people work.
I do keep seeing this clip though, and obviously it's kind of taken out of context because they're talking about jobs that are offering incentives. for people to come back to work, you know, bonuses or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And this news guy was like, you know, it's really sad just to see that, that, you know, you have to pay people to come to work. And and obviously he was talking about the bonuses, but there's everybody like making these TikToks and stuff. And they're like pausing them right at that point, and they're all like cocking their head sideways like a dog when he hears a funny noise, you know, like, really? Like, did he just
really? But I know what he means. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I tell you, it's, you know, it's sad because it's everywhere you go. Like, there's not a place that I walk into, whether it be gas station, restaurant, or anything like that, that I don't see a now hiring sign, you know?
Yeah.
Or
everybody's sitting on their butt getting $300 a week.
And yeah, it's just, it's like,
it's
I don't
sad.
Know.
To me, it's sad. It's like, okay, you know, let's teach our youth even more laziness. Like, come on, guys, get out to work.
No. And that's
I mean, I'm a musician, but I work.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, and that's the sad reality of it. You know, is that's what it kind of is. You know, we've already got such a bad reputation of just, you know, being lazy, fat Americans and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
we're you know, the government's just enabling us, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
yeah,
like we're bad,
absolutely.
You know, like the government's bad parents, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bad parenting and labeling your drug addict child, you know, and to get addicted on the government funds and everything. You know what I'm saying? That's what it associates to, I mean, in my head.
Don't worry, Johnny, you can live in our basement. We'll give you money every week. Just smoke your drugs and don't work. I got you.
It's really sad. I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to associate the legalization of marijuana across some of the states and stuff like that on this laziness.
Yeah.
And that's going to get a bad name for, you know, for that cause, you know?
Yeah. Hey, just real quick. I don't know if the listeners are experiencing it, but you were breaking up there for a little bit, and I hope your internet isn't about to go out again.
Don't say that. Don't jinx us.
I'm not jinxing. I'm just saying, like, you know, our little video chat on your end gave me the little.
You kind of glitched there too for a second. My end, you were still leaning over in your chair there, and then, you know, you leaned back towards the mic, and like it kind of stuttered there for a second, but
I hope that it's all good.
I'm looking at the internet connection now on the computer here, and it says I have full signal.
Good.
So I'm hoping that it's just a Facebook fluke, you know, maybe running through there when it runs
Sorry
through
for the distraction.
Whatever.
You know, I was like, oh no, this isn't happening again.
Right? Yeah, I don't want to get cut off again. It's embarrassing, man. It makes me, you know, it just makes me feel like, you know, people might think I'm, you know, like I'm some, you know, hack job.
We don't, you know, we don't control the crappy internet service that we have around here. Because in my house, it's the same, man. I pay for good service, and it drop out on me random times or go slow, or it's technology. It's not perfect.
Yeah. Right. And see, and that's our biggest thing, because really, honestly, people will get so angry, like to the point, like, you know, like Karen mad, you know what I mean? Like about situations like that. And really, honestly, like, and I heard a comedian, I forgot which one it was, might've been Chad Daniels. But anyways, he was talking about, like, you know, how can you be mad? How can the word, like, I hate Verizon, you know, how can that exist? It's like, it's such a miracle. And it's like, you know, even if you send a text message a month ago, you know, it's a miracle that it got to you, whatever. Like, we're so spoiled as a generation and stuff like that. It's like, and it was weird for a minute. And it's like, you know,
instant gratification.
Right. That used to take 3 years to do this. And now, you know, it's happening.
I remember having to sit while the dial-up connection.
Oh, yeah, AOL back in the day? Yeah.
Yes.
The AOL connection. America Online.
You just sit there like, okay. Yeah, I don't even know about that. I was watching this dude on TikTok the other day. He was talking about how today's youth could not have survived the 90s. And just like the, you know, like the hazing we used to give people and the, you know, bunch of, we, and it goes back to the government. Like it's a, it, we're raising a sort of pansy generation. I hate to say and be that old man sitting on his front porch in the rocking chair type guy. But I mean, that's, we need to toughen up these kids, man.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm trying to do that with my kids, toughen them up a little bit.
You know what? One of the things that I find very funny is I love when they ask newer generation kids older generation questions. I'm going to give you two examples. Yeah. My favorite two examples is one is when you get a couple of teenagers and you ask them, you know, how do you pay them like $100 if they can figure out how to dial a rotary phone. Dial this phone number on that rotary phone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, those just sit there just confused for minutes on end, you know, like I have no idea how to work this thing or why, you know, yeah, I go all the way over for every number and touch that little metal, you know, that little prong or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So
I like the rotary phones.
And the other one is, how do you take a picture? Today, they ask, how do you take a picture? They're just going to go like this, you know, with their thumb clicking their you know, their phone camera button. We ask an older generation, hey, how do you take a picture? You know, like this, because back in the day, you had to look through a little glass piece and take your shot, and you had to get your film developed, and, you know, and you had to wait 3 hours or whatever. Go back and get it.
1 hour photo never actually took an hour.
Yeah. And then 1 hour, then those 1 hour places started popping up all over, you know, Walgreens and Eckerd's and everything. Like, they started.
And it still took 3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, it's 1 hour to when we get to it.
It's like getting medication. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's like trying to get a medication. It's like, why does it take so long to get filled? And, based on an idea of another comedian, he's like, well, what are they back there shooting basketball with the pills? Like,
yeah.
You know, they're trying to make a man. And says, no, tell them to come back in another half hour.
that, you know, that's actually true. Like, you go up, it's like, here's my prescription. Okay, we can have that fill. When you can pick it up? Well, I mean, I'm ready right now. Well, how about this afternoon? Why is it going to take 4 hours for you to put pills in a bottle? Like, and print out a label. What's up with that? Did it do it again? Dum, dum, dum. I don't know if you guys can hear me or not, but glad you could join us.
Yeah, well, I was glad I could join too. I'm hoping that we're broadcasting at this point. I mean, I can hear you. That doesn't mean anybody else can hear us. You know, just talking to ourselves in here, probably.
It says the episode's still going, so.
Okay. Oh, well, I just got a confirmation text. We are. Okay. Yeah, we're broadcasting. We're good. We are live again and can be heard. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your fucking technology for you. At what point though are we allowed to just start complaining? Because I just went on this big tirade of people not complaining about technology and be happy with what you got, but you know, 20 minutes in, and we start glitching out. I start getting pissed.
Yeah, I'm never really one to complain, but when you sell me a service and you guarantee me a certain service and I don't get that, I get a little butt hurt. I'm gonna be like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, yeah, I'm gonna complain a little bit because you told me that, you know, like the cell phone. You told me it ain't gonna drop no calls, or you told me the internet's gonna be, you know, I can stream up to 4 devices at the same time with no lag. Nah, I tried. No, but you want me to pay more money to get better? No, bump that. It's the same thing. But I mean, I get the things happen. But when it's a consistent happening, like for the longest time where I live, we live out in the county, we would lose power all the time. We moved here and I was like losing power all the time. Finally, they switched electrical system and we haven't lost power since. It's like, okay, upgrade your stuff. Why do I got to pay you more?
Right? Like, it's not my fault. Like, it's you. This is kind of standard in everyday life right now that people's power, you know, there's not rolling blackouts, you know, like,
yeah,
like we should have constant power, like fix your shit.
Yeah. So what we're saying, people, is please don't be upset at us. Please still listen to us. It's not our fault that this is faulty. Take that up with Xfinity or Spectrum or whoever you all got.
I'll tell you, I was talking to Dan, you know, one of the owners, does the, you know, 2 of the other shows on the network.
Yeah.
I was talking to him about the other, I'm like, you know, honestly, man, like, I don't want Mike to get mad because I just got Mike on board and all these things keep happening. And I don't want him to get upset and back out of doing the show with me. You know, I want, you know, cause he seems really, really excited to do the show and I want him to stay in that kind of mood and keep this going. So
I don't care. I know that these things happen more often than not, but they do happen. But did that happen to him on his show at all? Did he say? Did it drop?
No,
out on
I
him?
Didn't. No, I don't think they've had any issues with it this week. I wasn't able to listen to his show this week, but on Wednesday. So
apparently, at 4 p.m. 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the internet just says, you know what, it's not
on Fridays,
time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're
going to have
to
move
to
the show up now. We're going to have to start broadcasting, you know, like noon or some shit. We can't go later because of your gig, so.
Yeah. It's my fault. It's all my fault. It all just comes back to being my fault.
Son of a... Yeah, yeah. And just
like,
show
you
time
really?
And everything. Never had this many problems before. Now I've got to have problems every week, ever since this guy Mike came on my show.
Yeah, you bring Mike on, crap happens, man. Right.
It's probably just because you're so electrifying. You fuck with all the gizmos and gadgets, you know?
That's right. Electric going through my body.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving right along here. and like I said, we're gonna talk about the death of Otis Redding, and what happened about that day and stuff like that. And that's gonna segue us into talking about John Denver, because John Denver again is one of those people that died through airplane crash. So I was trying to think of something funny there, and I thought about it the other day, but I didn't. When I went to say it, it was like, that's not going to be funny, so I stopped myself. But I was going to be like, it was an ATV accident, and I was going to wait for your reaction and be like, no, it was a plane crash. And I was like, yeah. Let's see, air transportation vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Air transportation.
But I was like, yeah. I don't know why I thought that would be funny. It's anyway, I'm retarded. But anyways.
Well, we all think of things that late at night that aren't funny.
In our darkest hours.
Yeah, you can't help that, man. It's okay.
Stupid
we all do
things
it.
That we think of. So at 67, the band was traveling to performances in Redding's Beechcraft H-18 airplane. And I just want to say, I want to read that again. In Redding's. This is his plane. You know, so, you know, look at that accomplishment, you know, in itself. Like, you have enough money to own an airplane. Like,
heck yeah.
I'm never going to own an airplane. You know, like, who's got enough money to,
you know, have an airplane and then have, you know, us, you know, obviously you have a pilot on standby and stuff like that. And, you know, all this. So like fuel and everything, like, that's a lot of money. I'm like, get my stuff around this motherfucker. So that's really, that's, you know, that's really cool. Anyways. So on December 9th, they appeared on the Upbeat television show produced in Cleveland. They played 3 concerts and 2 nights at a club called Leo's Casino. And after a phone call with his wife and children, Redding's next stop was Madison, Wisconsin. The next day, Sunday, December 10th, they were to play at the Factory Nightclub near the university. And although the weather was poor, heavy rain and fog, despite warnings, they took off. So they're in itself, like, you've got tower people and this and that. I mean... You know, I'm sure it wasn't the pilot's decision. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it was up to, you know, the owner of the plane. And I'm sure Redding was like, you know, screw it. We'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we're good. You're a good pilot.
You know, and that just, you know, unfortunately, you know.
Very unfortunate.
So what happened? Yeah. So they take off and they are 4 miles from their destination at the Truax Field in Madison. So, I mean, God.
Not very far at all.
No, 4 miles off from the airport. And the pilot, Richard Fraser, radioed for permission to land shortly thereafter the plane crashed into the Lake Monona. And Barkay's member, Ben Colley, was the accident's only survivor.
Man.
And I guess he fell asleep on the plane ride and woke up to when everything was going on, like, and the chaos of everything of them going down.
Dude, that's scary.
Yeah.
Sure. And what sucks so much about that is he was so young. That's what we talked about last time. Like, he was so young, 26 years old. And it's like, you know, I don't want to compare, or I don't want to lessen John Denver's death at any, but John Denver had a full career and then died in a plane crash, you know, or fairly full career. Man, Otis Redding, he had like, what, 5-6 years in it, that. And it's, you know, it's just, it's painful to think the music that could have come out of him living.
But, and then I'll now tell you this, John Denver, full career, you know, Otis Redding, not that long. Look at the impacts.
Yeah.
Look at the life impact of both artists. And compare them, and they're both in that top tier. You know what I'm saying? As far as the impactful music, you know, onto the world. So
yeah.
But I mean, and this guy here, Ben Colley. I mean, could you imagine? Like, just you, all of a sudden, you wake up to everybody fucking screaming, and the plane's fixing to crash, and then you're the only survivor. You know? And the poor guy couldn't swim, so it's not like he could have went and saved anybody.
Yeah,
he's holding on to one of the cushion seats, which they always say, you know, your cushion seat can be used as a flotation device. You know.
Yeah.
And was hanging on to it, and that's how we kind of, obviously, you know, kind of made his way to the shore, you know, by holding on to this raft here, or to the seat. See, and another not listening to, you know, advice. James Brown, the godfather of soul, had told Redding, had warned him not to fly.
Yeah,
in those conditions, and you know, took off anyways. You know, just not listening. The other victims of the crash were the 4 members of the Barkays: guitarist Jimmy King, tenor saxophonist Fallon Jones, organist Ronnie Caldwell, and drummer Carl Cunningham. their valet, Matthew Kelly, and the pilot, Frazier.
Hmm.
So, I mean, what a way. And then just 3 days after, you know, the re-recording of Sitting on the Dock of the Bay comes out.
Yeah.
Let's...
Which is insane, you know, because his biggest, I feel like his biggest hit, he didn't even get to hear the final copy of it. You know, he didn't even get to, to know the success of that, that hit. And he, you know, honestly, if he were alive, that whistle part would never been in there, because, you know, that he wanted to write lyrics on that whistle part. But that's what everybody remembers about the song now. It's funny how things work that way.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's one of the most memorable parts, you know. Imagine if that wasn't in there. You know, if there had been words, would it have been would it have been as successful and accepted?
You know,
you know,
I don't know.
Like, so
yeah.
It's crazy, you know. Did him dying make the song more famous, you know? Or would it have just been just another good tune if he had lived, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot to think about that, you know, and that thing. And that's, you know, always crazy to wonder and think about. So.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take our first break of the evening. It is 4:32. So, first half hour of the show, we're going to take us a little break. We'll put a song on for you. We're going to come back, and we're going to kind of segue into John Denver here. And talk about his career and his life. You know, a couple marriages went through. His first two children were both adopted a boy and a girl. You know, so there's a lot to talk about there. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. Let's see. Where?
And while we're on our break, go to his Facebook page and give us a like, note by note.
Yeah. I forgot to say, you know, it's obviously, ladies and gentlemen, this is a live show. So we do have a phone number. If you want to call in and talk to us, that number is 718-664-9735. Again, that number is 718-664-9735. I forget to say that a lot, but it, the number is on our Facebook page and stuff like that. So, you know, you can't.
Yeah, I would love to talk to some of y'all.
Yeah. Ask us questions. We don't really care, actually. You know, you can call us and talk to us about the weather if you just want to call in.
About whatever.
You know? Yeah. Just call in. You know, let's have some interaction.
Holler at your boys.
Yeah, for real. okay. So I think, let's see. We're going to put out some Chad, you know, Chad Bearden. This is Sober. And I'll tell you the backstory to this while the song's playing, which I always love hearing the little tidbit backstories of songs and how they came to be. So, and I'll get to tell you that story here while we go to break. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Chad Bearden. This is Sober. We will be right back. Stay with us. We got a lot to talk about. Here we go.
I must have had one too many. I really must have turned them up. Must have been going hard on something in a paper cup. That's the only way I can explain where I'm at right now. I must have really been throwing them down, cause I never would have done it sober. Never would have said it's over. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could have lied to and tore our world apart. on his soul. I could blame it on the jack, pin it on the Cuervo, but surely I was sipping on some hell I don't know. Wish I could find some bad excuse to explain what I did to you, cause I never would have done it sober. I never would have said it's over. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could have lied through and tore our world apart. Tomorrow I know I'll wake up hungover. But I never would have turned it sober. No, I never would have done it sober. I know it will all come rolling back. But right now, I can't recall a damn thing. Cause I never would have done it so. Never would have said it so. Cause I never would have done it sober. Never would have said it sober. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could I do it to our world apart? Tomorrow I know I'll wake up humble. Cause I never would have done it so. No, I never would have done it so. I must have had one too many. Really must have turned it up.
Yo, shite. I can't put my shorts on. I don't know how to...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his studio is my buddy Mike.
Snodgrass.
Yeah, and in the background there was Dan.
Little top five for you, right?
Yeah, who as soon as I hit the microphone, just started I'm oblivious to what the fuck is going on in the studio right now.
You'd think he'd know better, right?
You would think he'd know better. You would think, because if somebody did that to his show, he'd go fucking apeshit.
Yeah.
Well, we're not as important, though.
Right, we're not as important, exactly. That's, you know, yeah, we're not the owner slash manager slash show host slash co-host to other shows. So
slash background noise now.
Yeah, slash background noise, Mike said.
Give you a new
topic.
Oh, shit. I can't
put
my shorts on.
Yeah, oh, shit. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show.
I think.
That's live. It's live, ladies and gentlemen. That's, you know, I can't help it. You know, shit happens, you know, and we apologize for nothing around here. So, I can't help you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just coming back, if you listen to the song that we just played, that was Chad Beard, and the song was called Sober. Although Chad is my cousin, he is an incredible artist. So please, you know, go check him out. Go to his Facebook page, like his stuff, buy some merch, find out where he's playing. He goes all over. So catch him when you can.
Catch me when you can.
Yeah. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're gonna get right into this here, and you know, talking
country roads take me home.
Good old John
to
Denver.
The place I belong.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm very excited that you are excited about this. So I mean, that's really good. Hey, you know what? We could do a show just on John's.
John, yeah. I mean, we
Johnny Cash,
we
Johnny Otis, John Lennon, Johnny Taylor, John Denver, John Legend, yeah.
Johnny Carson.
That's funny. No, that doesn't fit. Never mind.
Oh, shit. So, starting off here, you know, just starting that beginning, John Denver, born Henry John. Do you know how to pronounce it?
Duschendorf. Yeah, something like that.
Duschendorf.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's how it comes across to me. Duschendorf Jr.
Yeah.
Again, another guy that I didn't know was a junior. But I also didn't know that his last name wasn't Denver. but I see why he changed it.
Yeah, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't really put that on a marquee.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. going with John Denver, which, you know, simply enough, he named it after the capital of his favorite place, which was Colorado. Place where he spent a lot of his time in his life. He loved it up there, was an avid skier, I learned. I think if I'm not mistaken, in the Olympics, he was a commentator for the...
Oh, wow.
That is just cute there, Mr. Mike. That is
like
so
that?
Adorable. Look at that little unicorn. Yeah, you got a little female... You got little females in your life, don't you?
No, this is my wife's.
That's your wife?
she loves unicorns.
That's just she had a daughter. Like,
nope, two boys.
Just the two boys.
Yep.
And your wife's unicorn hairband
or whatever. Yeah, hairband. Yeah. I don't know why it was in my studio. It kind of. I think the dog, our new puppy Ladybird, got a hold of it because she loves to chew things, and she brought it in here, and we took it from her. It was in here. I looked at it, and I was like, "Hey, I'm going to distract him."
Hey, no.
I thought you just laugh. I didn't know. Oh, you're going to screenshot?
Yeah, sure am. Okay, that's going up on the page.
That works.
That's good. That's good. I just happened to look back down from looking at the computer. Look down. I was like, oh crap! He's got an antenna. Shit! Nope, it's a unicorn. What's he doing?
Yeah. I don't know. You know,
trying to get better reception. Make sure we don't get logged off again.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know. I don't know. Being a random musician that actually doesn't do drugs. Like you would think I'd do a lot of drugs, but. I have the personality of someone that would do a lot of drugs, but I don't do a lot of drugs. I don't even do a little bit of drugs.
I don't do a lot. I was going to say, I don't do a lot of drugs. I do a little bit of drugs.
I used to do a little bit of drugs, but I don't. And now I don't do any drugs except for, like, I'll have ibuprofen every once in a while.
That's really great.
Because I'm old and I have inflammation.
I'm over here smoking cigarettes. I'm drinking a Yingling. You know, I got my Fireball over here, my shot glass to the side. I'm horrible compared to you.
Hey, I have granola and water and sweet tea, but not that sweet. It's like half and half because too much sugar, man, can't be doing that.
No, I'll tell you what. I've been doing really good with drinking a lot of water lately because I get free drinks from work, so I tend to drink a lot of soda, like, and I have for many, many years. And I've been drinking a lot less, and which means I've been cutting out rock stars and energy stuff. And so today I was like, you know, I want a little pick me up, you know, everything. So they didn't have any rock stars, so I got two big Red Bulls, and I took a big old swig of that first Red Bull, and I was like,
ooh,
oh shit. Like,
yeah, once you cut it out a little bit, you notice.
Oh wow,
you notice it.
Yeah, and
so anyway,
really, yeah.
Sorry for being so random, everyone.
It's,
continue.
It
I apologize.
No, it's fine. We got off on unicorns and Red Bull, and Red Bull gives you. Anyways.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So, John Denver, born Henry John Duschendorf Jr. Born December 31st, 1943,
Set. I mean, that was it 43 or 44 is the end of the World War II?
It was, yeah, it was right in there. 40,
right.
Between 43 and 45, I believe.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It's like, wow. So, wow. Okay. So, you know, end of World War II. and again, you know, professionally known John Denver, American songwriter, singer, record producer, actor, activist, humanitarian, and his greatest commercial success was with his solo singing career.
Yeah.
So, and I did not know about all that stuff, but when you look up and you research, like, he did a lot of, you know, a lot of activities. And just like it says, you know, record producer, actor, activist, humanitarian. I mean,
he was an activist for nature before it was cool. Like, he was a very, he was a tree hugger before it was cool. Not saying that tree hugging is bad. I'm just saying that sounded very judgmental how I said that. He was a tree hugger. No, I like trees as well.
Yeah, so in the late 60s, so let's say, you know, he's in his early 20s, and he starts singing folk music, and gets him. You know, starts his folk music career. And then, 70s. So just after starting his career, he was one of the most popular acoustic artists of the decade, and the decade's best-selling artists. So, I mean, just come out the gate and, you know, come out strong.
Well, there was a lot of when I was listening up on some of his story, there was a lot of struggle in the beginning that a lot of people didn't know about. Like, he got his first record deal, and then he got in the studio and apparently got nervous and could not sing. And the producers were like, no, this guy sucks. And they dropped him from the label without releasing anything. But he still kept pushing. He still kept going. And finally it stuck. Like, he got it. I can't remember which record label he got with. But he got with them, and they took a chance on him. And that's how he emerged. But it just goes to show you the struggle. If you really want to do something, the struggle, if, you know, keep at it. And one of the coolest things I was listening to his history was we had a couple things in common. Like, he went to college for architecture. I went to college for engineering. He actually dropped out of college. I finished. But he said that the
oh, so now you're better than John Denver? Oh.
No.
Just kidding.
His parents, he said, the most loving thing that he could ever would have remembered was when he told them he was dropping out of college to pursue his music career. They obviously didn't like it, but they said, okay, here's $200. When you let us know whenever you decide to go back to college, whenever you get this out of your system, we support you, but whenever you get out of your system, let us know you go back to college. And they gave him $200 and he went on his way, and He built his career. I was like, that's cool, having support.
Wow.
Like, they didn't like that, obviously, but they said, okay, get it out of your system.
Right. Yeah, go ahead and, you know, search your soul a little bit, take a little bit of time off, you know, and then come back and finish your schoolwork.
Yeah. And that's kind of how my dad told me at the beginning, when I told him, hey, Dad, I'm not going to pursue engineering anymore. And pursue music. He's like, yeah, but you might just want to keep the engineering job or just keep trying to get an engineering job and do that on the side. It's like, I don't really want to do it on the side. I'm gonna still do music. He's like, well, now he gets it. Now he understands. But, you know, and my mom has always been super supportive. So it's cool to know. I like to hear those little tidbits about superstars and whatnot, those little things that kind of pave the way for them. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's, I mean, and it's always a different little something, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same for all musicians, you know? Yeah, you know, I mean, it's good. And I think, honestly, I would say that a lot of the reservation from parents is just, you know, they don't want to see their child fail. You know, like in your situation, and John Denver's situation, you're already successful, you know, in school and everything like that. Why would you stop, you know, doing that or whatever, you know, or why would you stop your career while you're already doing engineer stuff? You know, I'm sure you did decent, you know, in that field and as far as work and stuff, and then just drop all that and take a chance on that, you know what I'm saying, on what you're doing. So I would say that's where a lot of the reservation comes from. But it's cool to have, like you said, to have that parent that says, yeah, go ahead, you know, let's, you know, get it out of your system, you know, live a little life, you know, do what you want, and then, you know, come back, we'll do that. And, you know, both of you, obviously you haven't went back, so, I mean, you're successful enough, you know, in your music and everything that, you know, you're not going back. He didn't have to go back. He just, okay, thanks for the 200. I got this. Thanks. So
what I like about it is that when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to be anywhere unless I decide I have to be there. You know what I mean? Being your own boss. Right. I ain't got to be nowhere unless I have predestined that place to happen. The freedom of it is I probably could have been making more money as an engineer at this point, but I don't care about that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's my problem is, like, you know, I'm never going to be happy working until I'm my own boss and I don't have to listen to anybody. So that's probably where I'd be most successful is where I got to listen to shit. Everybody's got to listen to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to me. My turn. I want to be boss. Damn it.
I want to tell you what to do.
Yeah. We are getting so off topic today. Anyway, it's easy to do. It's easy to do. So throughout his career, John Denver recorded and released approximately 300 songs. About two of them are ones that he composed himself. 33 albums, singles that were certified. Yeah, 33. And singles that were certified gold and platinum in the U.S. by the RIAA. Estimated sales of more than 33 million units throughout his career. I mean, that's – yeah.
That's all.
He recorded and performed primarily with an acoustic guitar, sang about his joy in nature, disdain for city life, enthusiasm for music, and relationship trials. Song. Annie Song was his – first wife, Annie Martell, 67 to 82.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's one of his most popular songs, was that one, Annie's song. Denver's music appeared on a variety of charts, including the country music and Billboard Top 100, Adult Contemporary, earning 12 gold and 4 platinum albums with his signature songs, Take Me Home, Country Roads, again, Annie's song, Rocky Mountain High, Calypso, Thank God I'm a Country Boy. I cannot say that without the little bit of a singing to it, you know. Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
I'm a Country Boy.
Sunshine on My Shoulders.
Makes me happy.
You know, and one of the go ahead.
Sorry, I thought it was I heard another thing. I like the little fun facts and stuff like that. But he never wanted to ever be associated as a country artist. He was a folk artist through and through, soft rock. And, you know, Nashville back in that day, they really had a disdain for John Denver because here comes this new young buck with his grandma glasses, hippie attitude, and then they're labeling him as a country artist, and all these, like, you know, beer drinking country artists are like, he ain't country, you know, and there was a lot of controversy back then. I learned about John Denver, and John Denver was like, I never wanted to be country. I'm not saying I'm country. It's the record label that's labeling me as country. I'm not country. I'm just a good old boy. But he did write some of the more popular country hits, like Country Roads, and Thank God I'm a Country Boy. Every country artist knows those songs. Like, you know, it's funny how that kind of stuff works out. You're not really country, but we're going to label you that anyway.
Right. And all because of some person who sits in a suit and in an office makes a decision and pushes. I mean, that's really all that boils down to. You know,
exactly,
it's some guy in a suit who says, you know, this, we're going to promote you country and we're going to promote you folk music. And we're, you know, so
and that's the hardest thing being a musician. Not for some, for me especially, but not for all, but is to label yourself. Like if you are a straight up country dude, or if you're a straight up pop, that's fine. That's great. If you're straight up rap, hip hop, that's great. But for guys like me, it's hard for me to label myself as one thing.
I remember asking you on your interview with this show originally, back when I first started this, because you were one of my very first artists. I remember asking you, you know, what genre do you classify yourself? And I remember it being not a simplistic answer. So
right, well,
I just kind of.
I tend to just make it up on acoustic soul. I don't see that anywhere on the list. Well, I'm not on the list. Stop putting me
I'm
in
the
list.
First, yeah, I'm the first one.
Stop categorizing, guys. Don't you realize that I'm not a part of your. But you know those guys, you know, I like that, you know, he's like America's first real big popular folk artist, like straight up folk.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very you know, niche-y, very odd, and I like that about him. I'm not a, you know, I only know his hits. I don't really know much else about John Denver, even though he wrote my home state song. I'd heard those hits like Country Roads and Rocky Mountain High and Sunshine on My Shoulders and Thank God I'm a Country Boy. But it doesn't really go past that. And I feel like that's for most people, for John Denver.
Probably. I mean, and it's probably that way for a lot of people, a lot of artists, really, you know. I mean, you know their hits and stuff like that, and you know of their stuff like that. But and I'll tell you, though, I that's – one of the things I love about doing this show, because I always learn something, you know, when I'm researching somebody and you find out those little quirks, or, you know, you find out those fun facts or whatever, and you learn about their life. I mean, you know, it's great. You know, I love knowing that background.
I had no idea. I had no idea dude had 33 albums. I'm going to have to start listening to some of this now. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I never
and,
knew
know,
that.
Tell you, his only Grammy is for a child's child award. It was a best album for children award or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What was that?
Weird. That's really weird.
Yeah. I want to. God damn it. I want to say
because he has so many good hits.
Oh, man. I don't remember where I – let's see. Da, 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 da. It's in here somewhere. I don't remember where it is. I'm sure we'll come across it here.
The Grammys are a popularity contest anyways.
It's in here somewhere, but –
Well, while you're looking at that, I found some fun facts. And like I said, I you know, I'm the fun fact guy. I like to, you know, to know these things. But this is from his autobiography. Apparently, he wrote an autobiography.
Yes.
And these are just some highlights. So, you know, some of them aren't as shocking as the others. But There's a few of them here. Like, as a child, he liked to sit alone in eucalyptus trees. Well, who wouldn't want to do that? You know, this one was kind of funny.
I always wanted to be a panda.
This one's funny. He referred to his white classmates in Alabama as crackers. John Denver called his white people, he called them crackers.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, that's, yeah. But he dodged the draft in 1964 by getting a shady doctor in L.A. to concoct a bit of medical history.
Oh.
So he dodged that.
Yeah.
Here's another.
Back in the day,
one.
So I'm sure it was like $300 or something like that. Here, doc, oh, yeah. You know, fill out some stupid back information for me. And the doc's like,
oh,
fuck,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's crazy. He was a suspect in an Arizona bank robbery.
What?
Yeah. Crazy fun fact.
Where did you learn this? This wasn't any of the material that I saw.
Autobiography.
Wow.
He wrote this.
Oh, my God.
He had 8 toes because he chopped 2 of them off in a lawn mowing accident.
Oh,
so he only had
God.
8 toes.
Oh, that makes me cringe just thinking about it. Oh, God. Slipping under the lawnmower while I was running.
Yeah. Back to Annie, his first wife, he proposed to her over the phone. Like, this dude was OG.
Oh, wow.
He's like, hey, baby.
I don't give a fuck. I'm John Denver. Like,
yeah, I'm John Denver.
Hey, baby, you marry
you
me?
You either going to marry me or not. Like, you already know the answer. Why I got to be there?
Oh, fuck. Why I got to be there? You already know the answer.
You already know what you feel about me.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Let's see. Oh, there's some really, we're going to talk about this later, I'm pretty sure, but one of these said he thought he might have once been a mountain lion. That was probably the drug thing.
Huh.
But he thought of himself as a very glamorous, popular figure.
Sorry about that.
What'd you crash?
You
what are you breaking over there?
So Dan has a beer bottle opener thing.
Okay.
Sitting to his left on his wall here, and I went to turn the fan on because I was getting a little hot in here, and I hit that, and it was absolutely full of beer caps.
Uh-oh,
so
now they're all over the floor.
I have a mess of beer bottle caps that I have to pick up now when the show's done.
Oh, man.
So, sorry.
Oopsie daisy.
Apologize.
So there was some fun facts for you. Some random weird fun facts.
Yeah, no,
especially the mountain lion thing. That's crazy.
I used to think I was a mountain lion, and then I realized I
was
a person.
He kind of looks like a very girly mountain lion, I think.
Yeah, very feminine.
His long blonde hair.
And his little granny glasses. Yeah, he's very feminine looking. And I knew of him. I mean, it's not like I've seen a whole bunch of pictures of him and, you know, really researched him before the show here, but yeah, like he's got a very feminine, they even say that, you know, in his early years, his look was long blonde hair and granny glasses.
Like, yeah. I just thought of something funny. I feel like if instead of him thinking he used to be a mountain lion, he probably was a Patty. He looks like his name should be Patty if he was a lady. Hey, Patty.
That's pretty accurate.
Right?
This is like,
hey, Patty.
Patty, like, this is like pre-Karen, you know, this is Patty. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Hey, Patty, how's it going? Gonna sing us some songs, Patty?
That's so terrible. May he rest in peace.
I know.
We're sorry,
rest in peace, John.
We're sorry.
he had a sense of humor. I think.
Wow. Okay. Moving right. Well, let's see. It's top of the hour here. We're gonna take another break, and I'm gonna get the giggles out of me, and we're gonna continue on talking about John Denver here. Let's see.
Patty.
AKA Patty, yes. What to play? let's see. I want to put on some Jaybirds. It's because I like Jaybirds. Jaybirds, ladies and gentlemen. Tater Ryan Johnson. Tater Visions, Tater Records, was in a very, very popular band. Him and his buddy, my buddy, Steve Young. This is their band. Jaybirds also, we have them to thank for our intro. I don't know if I told you that yet or not, Mike, but,
Yeah,
the note by note intro, that is actually, written by them. And, you know, I tell Steve all the time, like, man, I hate that I made you waste that on my show, because I think that could have been, could have been a killer song probably. But instead, you know, and, it's just something that, they cooked up, for us, or, you know, for me, it's great. I love having that, be the little intro there, and I always try to mention them as much as possible. But this is one, this is their most popular hit so far, and this is You're Not Alone, and this is an anti-suicide song, and just trying to reach out to people everything, and that is not an option, you know. If you have something going on, you know, reach out to somebody, because somebody will talk to you. And I've even heard Steve himself from Jaybirds, you know, if he's like, if anybody called me in the middle of the night, you know, tell me what they were going through, you know, I just sit up and talk to him and stuff like that. So, and that goes for anybody here at WCM Network, you know, it's always a mental health awareness, you know, going on. So, you know, look out for one another. Some people are struggling by themselves, especially with all this going on in the world that it is today. Reach out to people, you know, check in with them.
Yeah.
You know, let them know that they're loved. So, this song is Jaybirds. This is You're Not Alone. And we'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
You have to keep moving forever, you must fight. Find your greatest strengths when you you're giving all your might. When you're standing at the top of battles that you fought, and you're giving all you got, you'll find you're stronger than you thought. Standing in the rain, it could be in worse weather. Even when you're drenching cold and have no shelter, get as bad as it can get, no worse, no weather. Then you know that things from here can only get better. Search inside the mirrors, because they hold the truth. For you'll never stare at you by the way you stare at you. What you cannot see when you step into that noose becomes visible once you step off of that stool. For enduring anger and despair, sadness doesn't last forever. Hold on and moving on to see that it gets better. The clouds will always part, revealing warmer weather. And you're not alone in this fight, you're a team member. You've got to go and do the things that fully please you. Remember, we're a team, you're not alone, and we need you. It's always darkest before the sign of light, and it's never the right time to take your own life.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Note by Note Radio Show. With me broadcasting from his studio is my main man, Mike. Mike, tell everybody what's up.
Word. That's what's up, yo. Talk about John Denver. The bird is the word. Talk about John Denver.
Oh, wow. You had such a dynamic to this show. I don't know if anybody else is giddy about it, but I sure as hell do. I think it's hilarious.
I don't know about dynamic, but I am an idiot, so hey, there's that.
I am too. You know my girlfriend. Ask her. Ask her how retarded I am sometimes. So I do some dumb shit. Whew, okay. I didn't get all the giggles out of me. Anyways, back to John Denver.
Back to John, Johnny boy.
Uh-oh. I'm getting messages here. Let me make sure that this isn't something saying, hey, you're not broadcasting.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Let's see. Starting due to drop frames. It's up to you if you want to keep going. The live keeps restarting. So our live feed. Yeah, our live feed. Not us, like broadcasting us.
On
Facebook Live. Yeah. Okay. It keeps restarting due to dropped frames. It says. Austin saying that it's up to us if we want to keep going. I'm still going to do the show. I mean, as long as we're broadcasting, you know, people can. If you can't listen, you can call into the show and listen. You can dial the number, and if you want, you know, I can just put you on mute you or whatever, and you can just listen into the show. If that's what you'd like to do, that number is, 718-664-9735. Or you can click the link. The link on Facebook will bring up Blog Talk, which is the site that we use to broadcast through. And you can listen that way. And just to warn you, if you're going to do that route, use something that don't use your phone. Because it's going to lock up everything on your phone. If you got a tablet or some other device or whatever that you can just click that through, do it that way. That way you can still play with your phone, because if you click through the Blog Talk link, like that's all you'll be able to do is, you know, just sit there with the link loaded and you listening to us. So use it on a tablet or something like that, because, you know, I mean, I know how people are nowadays. You know, they got to keep their phone in their hand, you know, so
yeah,
got to keep doing something. So, yeah, if you're listening, you know, there's one or two ways you can do that. So either way you want to do it. Yeah, you know, Austin, if you're paying attention, we're just going to keep going, you know, whether the Facebook Live stays up or not, it's whatever. That's not the end of the world for me. So, Mike, I don't think it is to you, right?
No, I don't care. Yeah, let's,
okay. So,
I mean,
yeah, we're just
gonna
keep on going. Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it rolling.
Oh, yeah.
They see me rolling. Hey, we'll ride dirty on it. That's okay.
Oh, shit. Oh,
we're
shit.
Riding dirty on
it. Yeah. So here's another fact that I didn't know, and this is kind of skipping forward, you know, just to let everybody know, the father, Henry John Dusendorf Sr., I guess they called him Dutch for short, he was an army pilot. He's the one that taught him how to taught John Denver how to fly. That's where he gets that from. His dad was constantly bounced around on Air Force bases, which made growing up for him, you know, rough. He's constantly transferring schools and everything. Let's see, Tucson, Arizona, Fort Worth, Texas. Yeah, Montgomery, Alabama. He, you know, that's where his childhood was. I mean, he just grew up all over, kind of. So, and I'll tell you that really helps round somebody out as a person, honestly. You know, because if you grow up in one place, you know, you kind of have a mindset of, you know, of growing up, and that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know, there, exactly. You know, without a broader span of experiences of, you know, I mean, because really, honestly, you can drive. It doesn't have to be into another state. You can drive from the north part of a state to the south part of the state, and you can have a completely different childhood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it just you know, 8 hours away or something like that. And it's, you know, so I would say that probably not traumatized, but, you know, affected him a little bit, bouncing around, having to, you know, make new friends and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Versus having, you know, a stable home and going through the same school district as all your friends growing up and everything like that. So as aggravating as that is, I bet that kind of rounded him out more as a person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just having that experience is a different – like you said, you know – He called it, and in Alabama, right? He called his classmates crackers, right?
Crackers, yep, crackers.
So, you know, that's funny, you know, and that's one of the big things, you know. He never, you know, when he moved to there, you know, he hated that racism of the school he went to, because it was segregated. And he hated all that, you know, and then that's, you know, when you hear about stuff like that, you know, it really just lets you know what kind of person he was, you know, despite of anything he had done in his life, you know, when you can just openly and honestly just hate something like that, you know, and I hate it. I hate the racism of the world and everything like that. And I've hated people who, you know, just are outwardly racist, you know, and I've ran across several in my lifetime, and it's just like, I just rather have nothing to do with you. You know, you have such a black, dirty heart, you know, and who are you to judge somebody else, you know, especially just by the color of their skin. You know, I've had bosses that are like that, you know, and just, you know, and not only racist, but like shady racist, you know what I'm saying? Low key racist. Now, those are real, real assholes. But, you know, so like, again, you know, despite, you know, what, because we're going to talk about some things, you know, he lived a rock star lifestyle as much as his persona perceived, you know, he's a good old country boy, you know, in his autobiography, I'm sure, you know, if you read the article, you know, on that and, or excerpts from his book and stuff like that, you know, he had, he led a rock star lifestyle. He talks about his addiction to cocaine, his alcohol abuse, everything like that, marital infidelity. You know, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he lived a rock star lifestyle, but his persona was always just good old boy, you know?
Yeah.
So there's kind of a two-faced lifestyle. And I don't mean that mean or derogatory in any way. I'm just saying, you know, what he's showing versus what was actually going on with him, you know, and what, you know, maybe what was really going on with him mentally. You know what I'm saying? Maybe success, you know, because success can be a lot traumatizing to some artists, you know. So
was perceived being, he was perceived as being like the Mr. Rogers in the music industry, but he was partying just like, you know, Mick Jagger and all them jokers. You wouldn't judge, you know, people don't judge Mick Jagger and all those cats for you know, having sex with multiple women a night, and you know what I'm saying. But right. Somebody like John Denver does it. It seems like it's, oh my gosh, that's so much more worse. Oh, right. It's not good either way.
Well,
but
I remember a quote
I heard from him say when they were just getting ready to talk about the craziness of his life was, he said, you know, I couldn't make love to 20,000 people on stage and then go home alone. He I'm sure he had a lot of stories to tell, but
I'm sure
quote.
I'll elaborate on what I mean on a two-faced of lifestyle. And again, I do not mean that in a mean way. I'm not judging a person's life, you know. In my first marriage, and only marriage, you know, I wasn't the best husband. You know, doesn't make me a terrible person, you know, because I believe in, you know, action and reaction, which I'm not getting into, but, you know, yeah, there's, you know, he was, I mean, this is somebody who was with, you know, did a lot of work with the Muppets. You know, on the Muppet Show, was a lifelong friend of Jim Henson, you know. So you've got somebody who is, you know, inspiring, and even to children and everything like that with Muppet Show appearances. But he's living this rock star lifestyle, you know. So, and it's kind of a behind the scenes, behind the music thing, because you don't associate that with him. But, you know, he spoke about it in his autobiography, you know, very vividly and everything like that, you know. So it's crazy to see that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then that, to me, honestly, that makes me wonder what he was going through, because a lot of artist, I would say some of it, yeah, it's just because they're doing stuff because they got the money too, and they're just living the rock star lifestyle because, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about, right? You know, but, you know, to have somebody like John Denver, and the type of songs that he played and stuff like that, it just seems out of character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what he sang about versus how he lived in those moments. I'm not saying his whole life, but how he lived in those moments, it was contradictory to what he's singing about. You know, he didn't sing about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He sang about nature and love and, you know, loving your fellow neighbor and loving your people. You know, that's what he sang about. He didn't sing about, you know, cheating on your wife and, you know, snorting cocaine or anything like that. He left that to the other artist, the rock artist, but he didn't sing about that. So it is very surprising to learn that he was sort of, at least later, or whenever it was in his career, that he partook in those activities.
So, let's see. Yeah, moving right along here. Let's see. This is one thing I want to talk about here. Okay, so Leaving on a Jet Plane, that song, that was actually a song that John Denver wrote.
Yeah.
It was not made famous by John Denver.
No.
It was a song to Peter, Paul, and Mary. Let's see, and their version of the song.
That's right.
Their song, their version of the song hit number one on the top 100. And I'll tell you honestly, this is what happened to me yesterday. I was researching John Denver and I was reading about him and everything like that. And that part came up and I had this fucking urge to watch Armageddon because of that. With Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler when he's fixing to get on the space shuttle with Bruce Willis and Steve Buscemi and everything like that. And he grabs Liv Tyler up and he's like, I'm leaving on a jet plane. Yeah. So I had
the original. Sorry. The original title of the song was Babe, I Hate to Go.
Yeah.
And Peter, Paul, and Mary changed it to Leaving on a Jet Plane.
Yeah, something I didn't know.
Yeah, it wasn't originally called that, but that's really that at that moment. That's really when I think they said that he knew that he could make it as a singer songwriter, and he didn't because he was part of a trio there for a long time, the Chad Mitchell Trio,
right
before he really got his success, and after he wrote that song, and then he said he spent about $5,000 on that album. It was just all the money he ever had, and he made 250 copies of it, gave it to all of his friends and family and everybody, and then he gave copies to Peter, Paul, and Mary, and they loved that song, so they decided to cut it on their record, and it became famous. And that's when I think it maybe made it to number two or hit the Billboard chart somewhere. And he said, hey, I could be a singer-songwriter. I think
right.
I could do this. And he just started writing hits after hit after that.
So, I mean, I heard that yesterday, and I had to watch the movie. So I ended up stopping my research.
So you actually did watch the movie?
Yeah. And I thought I owned it. I swore on everything I loved, I own it. So I go to a spare room downstairs in my girlfriend's house where I have some of my stuff right now, and I look through all my DVD boxes, and I don't have it. So I was like, screw it, and I bought it off Amazon because to rent it was $3 and to buy it was $5, and I'm like, this is the same as buying it at the Walmart $5 bin. So
yeah.
I bought it, and now it's with me digitally wherever I go in life, So I was like, screw it, it was worth it. Really honestly, because that was really a great movie to me.
It was.
And I know again,
I think
this
I had
is
it on
all,
VHS.
All subject. I did too, growing up.
Yeah.
So I love the movie, and it's very touching. Anywho, off topic again.
Speaking of jet planes.
Yeah, speaking of jet planes, that's again, it's how John Denver died.
It's iconic.
Don't you think? It's like Ray.
On your wedding day.
Yeah. It's the free ride that you just didn't take. John Denver, he joined the list of people who died by plane crash. It's a little bit different than, let's say, like Otis Redding, where he was just kind of neglected warnings. Well, it's kind of a neglecting of warnings and stuff like that. He died in a plane that was like you build, like it was a plane kit, basically, that you assemble, I guess. You know, when he had this mechanic who, you know, put it together, and actually, you know, in the days prior and stuff like that, he had had, you know, several successful runs, just kind of going up and doing little circles, I guess, around the airport, kind of doing touch and go landings and stuff like that and testing everything out. And the biggest problem was, so his fuel selector, fuel tank selector was over his left shoulder. Initially, the plane maker wanted it between the pilot's legs, but ended up putting it over the left shoulder of the pilot. And the fuel gauges were not even visible in the front passenger, because this is a two-passenger plane is what this little plane was. So the fuel tanks aren't even visible to him in the front seat there where the controls are. So they had actually tried to put some vice grips on the fuel selector handle, but they found it still hard for him to turn and maneuver. And they're basically – they're blaming the crash on the fact that he had to turn his body, you know, like 90 degrees to do the fuel selector switch to switch to his reserve tanks. And when kind of do that, his right foot, you know, like on anybody's right foot kind of naturally went forward to help compensate and, you know, prop himself up so he could turn. And that, you know, engaged the rudder, the right rudder, I guess, I believe is what it said. And it caused him to take like a kind of a right sideways turn nosedive, I guess is what I'm from what I'm understanding. And he, so there was several witnesses there to the crash, cause it crashed right into the ocean. And there was several that said that he heard, they heard a loss of the engine sound, the engine died right before the impact into the water. So they're thinking what happened is he didn't fuel up like he should have and top his tanks off. Cause he's like, I'm only going to be in the air for an hour. You know, I'm going to such and such, you know, it's right down here, whatever. And I guess he was like, you know, worst case scenario, he'll just switch to his tanks, you know, with the autopilot on. And that, you know, wasn't the case. So this was a single victim accident that was basically just kind of caused by himself. And shitty design of the plane because of the location of the fuel selector switch or the fuel tank selector switch and the fuel gauge itself was behind him. So like his mechanic had installed a mirror for him so he could look into the mirror and see his fuel gauges. So, and it was just, I assume a miscalculation.
They jerry-rigged it.
Yeah. And I mean, pretty much. And it was really, he wasn't even supposed to be flying the FAA, right? They had pulled his medical certification to fly because of the DUIs that he had in the previous year. he had a couple DUIs, and one that just a few months prior of his death it was a hung jury. And they were gonna do a retrial on him, and then he died. And then they closed it out because you know they're not gonna pursue, you know, after his death there. But it's just a crappy way to go. And seriously. You know, and it's It's kind of, you know, I mean, it kind of is along the lines of Otis, you know, not listening to suggestion and everything like that. They were like, hey, man, you need to go ahead and top your tanks off. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to go ahead and run down the coastline here about an hour. I'll be all right. You know, it's no big deal. If I have to, I'll switch to my reserve tanks. No, top off, ding dong.
No, don't do that. Yeah, top that off, boy.
Jesus. Yeah. See, that's why they would never invent flying cars, people, because you know people be running around and be on E and shit like that. Man, nah, fuck it, I can make it.
Let me get 38 cent on pump two.
Yeah, people would be falling out of the sky and killing other people. You know, that's what would happen. So yeah, I mean, it's sad because, again, you know, you wonder what kind of music would have come along, you know, and everything with all that. And you know, I'll tell you, he was such an activist in so many things towards the end of his career. You said, it was humanitarian, you know, eco-friendly or what, hippie, you know, before it was cool and everything like that. He thought that the space exploration was one of man's greatest accomplishments. He worked to help bring together the Citizens in Space program and received the NASA Public Service Medal for helping to increase awareness of space exploration by the peoples of the world, an award usually only restricted for space flight engineers and designers. And he was a finalist for the first Citizens trips on a space shuttle in 86. And after the space shuttle Challenger disaster with teacher Christina McAleef, I've never tried to say her name, so sorry. Denver dedicated his song "Flying for Me" to all astronauts and continued to support NASA. So, you know, and that's one of his things here. Denver testified before the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee on the topic of censorship during a Parents Music Resource Center hearing in 1985. Contrary to his public image as a musician, Denver openly stood with more controversial witnesses like Frank Zappa and Dee Snider of the heavy metal band Twisted Sister in opposing the PMRC's objectives. For instance, Denver described how he was censored for Rocky Mountain High, which was misconstrued as a drug song. because of the line, sitting around a campfire, friends are high. there was people who voted against letting that song become Colorado's song, just because they felt it promoted drug use. And somebody, you know, coming to his defense was like, no, he was just talking about, you know, the euphoric feeling of, you know, being in Colorado, which is, you know, just what Colorado is all about and everything. But when you read about his life and everything, and talk about his autobiography and everything like that, which was called Take Me Home, he spoke about his cannabis, LSD, cocaine use, marital infidelities, history of domestic violence.
Probably talking about drugs.
Yeah, he was probably high. He was I mean, think about it. He was in Aspen, Colorado. There was white stuff all around him all the time. It was constantly on his brain. He couldn't get away from that white powder.
Constantly on his brain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to get away from that. And here it is. Here it is, what I spoke about earlier. His only Grammy, Best Musical Album for Children. And it was in the summer of 97, shortly before his death, Denver recorded a children's train album for Sonny Wonder, All Aboard, produced by longtime friend Roger Nichols. The album consisted of old-fashioned swing, big band, folk, bluegrass, and gospel music woven into a theme of railroad songs. And he got a Best Musical Album for Children Grammy, and that is his only Grammy that he had ever received.
That's crazy.
Which, to me, it doesn't seem like, you know, that's enough. You know, he should have definitely, you know.
You would think he would have won a Grammy for Country Roads or, Sunshine on My Shoulder, or Thank God I'm a Country Boy. But he was probably nominated, I would think.
I'm sure, but probably several times, but just never got it. You know, and that's just sad.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Nashville was against him.
Well, that's true. Which is probably, you know, I mean, one of the biggest areas, you know, you want to, you know, have a fan base in, you know, for, I would say, any kind of music career. You know,
now it used to be just primarily country, but now it's everybody.
Yeah. And that was part of his life. And going back here, let's see, just kind of a quick recap. While he was married to his first wife, you know, they both adopted together. They adopted a boy and a girl. And I tell you, that's one of the most heartwarming things that I read about when I read about him, that he did that, because, you know, I mean, you probably don't know, but I, you know, in my previous relationship, in my marriage, you know, I raised a little boy from 3 months to 7 years old, you know, who unfortunately I no longer get to have contact with. You know, just hearing about him just adopting kids, you know.
Yeah.
Just some kids. What kind of life would they have had it not been for him just kind of, you know, doing that and everything like that. So, and he did have a child of his own in his second marriage. You know, he did have they had a daughter, Jessie Bell. But, you know, it just meant a lot to me. And I know you're in a similar situation. You have
I got six kids.
Right.
Yeah, I got instant family.
Right. That you don't classify as stepchildren, that, you know.
No.
Yeah, right. And I remember you had a song when I saw you at the at Calhoun's there. You said that was your first time playing that song, you know, and it was dedicated to, you know, being, you know, a stepdad, basically, you know, living that life. And, you know, it's amazing. And I commend you for that.
Thank you.
So, get another thing you got in common with him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's one of those songs, man, that just it comes from the heart, and I hope that anybody who hears it can relate to it, because a lot of people nowadays have some sort of stepchild, step-parent adoption. Either way, you know, there's a lot of intermingled families nowadays, and I didn't write it for that. I wrote it for those boys. And I just to tell them how much I loved them, and to tell them that, hey, you may not share my last name, you may not share my blood, but you're my kids, and that's cool, you know, that's cool
that
to be
is,
adopted.
That is a beautiful, beautiful thing, man. Really, honestly,
yeah.
To you and John Denver both, you know, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, you know, and it's things like that that let you know that there's still good people in the world, you know.
Amen. Yeah,
you know, just harder and harder to find anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. You got any more fun facts? I know that we kind of skipped over the fact that he was he did do some acting. He was in a movie with George Burns.
Okay.
Yeah. So we did kind of skip over that. That was Oh God. That was the name of that movie. American comedy film starring George Burns and John Denver, based on a 1971 novel of the same name by Avery Corman. The film was directed by Carl Rank, from Gilbert. Yeah.
No, I think I got all my fun facts out. I think we covered a good deal on Mr. Denver. Or Mr.
I think so, too.
Dudendorf. Dutchendorf.
So, okay, all right.
Patty.
Well, we're going to take us another little break here, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show, man. What do you think?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. Let's see who I haven't played in a while. I just have a craving. I want to hear this song. This song is from Luna Colleone. It's called Thug Shit.
I mean, that's John Denver, though.
He's true. I really, honestly, yeah, he's into some thug shit, you know. So I just want to hear it. So that's what we're going to play. Go check Looney out. He's an awesome he's a West Coast legend out there, you know, on the underground scene. Did some a little bit of high profile stuff at one point, just cool guy to talk to. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is Looney Colleone. Go check him out. This is Thug Shit. Here we go.
Main bitch. fire till I die, but killer when I ride. Scrap dorm Dindelli, it's a struggle to survive. So keep my mind on my paper in my head on straight. You can ask my folks who the code he on. Fool, it's been that way since high school. Been the same fool with the same tool, with the same rule. Every bitch nigga must lose, cause it's hey dudes. And got my race for bringing bad news to hoe ass niggas that be acting just like you. You brand new, like young niggas smoking boo boo. I'm old school, like real niggas smoking green juice. Ray in the pain, none of that. Then no gang, it's like the motherfucker sun without no goddamn rain. Stand up, fuck the whole world, high as a kite. That's my peace shotgun, I bet we ride tonight.
Come on and fuck with some of this thug shit. We got game to make your main bitch love dick. To all my enemies, when killing me, nigga, fuck this. I'll have my niggas on your ass like some draws trick. Thug shit. Who wanna fuck with some of this thug shit? We got game to make your main bitch love dick. To all my enemies, when killing me, nigga, fuck this. I'll have my niggas on your ass like some draws trick. Thug shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to No Fight Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his studio is my main man, Mike. What up?
Yo, wah, wah, wah.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us, shame on you, because we start at 4 o'clock and, you know, you should know better by now. spoke about John Denver tonight.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have a Ouija board.
John, are you there?
John Denver.
Hot pocket. we spoke about John Denver and his, you know, his life, his career, ups and downs, struggling to get going. Bouncing forward with several hits, and several accomplishments, one Grammy, several prestigious awards, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he got it. Let's see, they named an award after him, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. In 1998, so a year after, you know, somewhere around a year after, you know, his death, he received a Lifetime Achievement Award for the World Folk Music Association, and they also established a new award in his honor. So,
well,
yeah,
there you go.
That doesn't say exactly what that award is called. Some sort of, I guess, you know, the John Denver Achievement Award, something like that, I would imagine.
Patty.
But, you know, and they made a movie about his life, CBS. Actually, they presented a television film, Take Me Home, the John Denver story, based on his memoirs, starring Chad Lowe as Denver. But the New York Post wrote, an overachiever like John Denver couldn't have been this boring. So, that's sad there. But anywho, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we want to thank you for listening to the show. Again, if you haven't yet, please go check out, Note by Note Radio Show page. Click like, share, you know, all that good jazz. Go to the Wicked Curiosity Media page, like and share. Go to Mike Snodgrass Music and like and share his page and everything like that. Follow Mike around, where he's going. Incredible musician, incredible person, honestly.
Thank you.
So in a great band behind him. Go check them out tonight. Where are you going again? Let everybody know where you're going again tonight.
It's the Wild Boar Tavern in Powell, Tennessee.
All right. Well, yeah, that's
gonna be a fun
exactly
night.
Where I'm broadcasting from. So you're going to be right down the road from me. I wish I had the time. I'd go down there and check you out.
Ah, yeah. We'll be around.
Yeah. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, again, we want to thank you for listening and sharing along in this adventure tonight with us. We had a lot of fun laughs. Mike, you want to say your final goodbyes here?
Well, you guys have a great rest of your day, and keep listening. Call in sometime. I'd love to talk to you guys.
Oh yeah, definitely. Again, the number is 917 I take that back. 718-664-9735. 718-664-9735. And you can use that number to call in anytime, you know, we're broadcasting to any of the shows, not just this one. Check out Behind the Screen on Sundays. Check out Behind the Screen Presents the Cinephiles on Wednesdays. And Falling from Grace on Tuesday nights with the ladies, Miss Angel and Miss Ann. So yeah, check them out. You know, don't let this be your only stop here on Wiki Curiosity Media. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening and coming along with us on the journey tonight. And as always, please, everybody, keep your hearts open and your radios up. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you. Yeah. Good night.